Hello everyone. Today I'm here to talk about yet another interesting topic, which is cybersecurity. Cybersecurity, as you would all know and understand how important it is when we talk about overall IT solution. Even when we don't talk about the IT solution as such, cybersecurity plays a big amount of role. So be it a banking transaction, be it any credit card transaction, be it handling your social profile, or any kind of e-activities, so activities that go on in the web. So they're all prone to attacks by hackers. Now, the intention could be different. Someone might just want to steal the user information. Someone might want to steal the user information and monetize them. There could be countries involved as far as cyber espionage is concerned. And there could be a lot of vested interest. So money obviously happens to be one of the most ulterior motives behind a cyber attack. So it's as simple as saying that, you know, an attacker has hacked into your banking account and he's trying to cipher out all the money. So that's the simplest form of it. But apart from that, it's a big cyber warfare. So from an enterprise perspective, protecting the brand image, so that's a big thing. So there could be cyber wars from competition which could want to, you know, tarnish the image of a company. So that's again a kind of a cyber warfare. There could be companies who might pay some money to external hackers to get into the websites or get into the internal databases of the different companies and get the trade secrets out. So that could be another form of a cyber attack. Or probably it could be as simple motive that, you know, a person who is well educated, well learned, and just wants to, you know, explore the vulnerabilities in the system and just wants to prove a point that, you know, he is superior than most. So there could be different motives behind a cyber attack. So let us understand what exactly is cyber security, what are the different types of attacks that we see in the cyber world, and what I'll try to do is I'll you know, take a few examples as we talk about cyber security. Towards the end, we will look at what should be done to have a good platform in place, a good security framework in place, so as to prevent any kind of cyber attacks. So as we've been doing so far, so let us look at the definition of cyber security, let us look at the type of attacks, let us look at the different attacks as such, get some kind of understanding around them. Also, this will help us in having our privacy in place. So say if tomorrow you are creating a profile on social, so then probably it will help you to, you know, secure your profile, or even for your banking transaction. So it will probably, you know, it will give you a sense of what are the different types of attacks that could happen, and probably it will help you to, you know, plan your web strategies accordingly, right? So let us start this exciting journey. So just to start with, so from the start of the century, from the dot-com explosion, there has been a lot of internet access to the ordinary person. So this everyone would agree, and with the current Reliance Jio coming into picture, internet has been percolating to almost everyone in the country, right? Everyone now uses the data network. So internet as is being used by each and every person, we are living in a connected world. So it's become an important part of the personal life. A lot of finances depend on that. A lot of transactions earlier used to happen while going to the physical bank, but now everyone's it's become online, so you can make transactions online. Again, with the proliferation of the e-commerce players, with the RBI getting more licenses to the banks, and there have been a lot of payment banks, a lot of wallet companies who have sprung up. So this basically gives a lot of so this entire IT boom has caused a lot of destruction in the way traditional banks used to offer. So this again, it becomes important to discuss cybersecurity. The role of information has been diversified and gained in importance even in geopolitical matters and power. So even if you talk about international relations and diplomacy, this has a very important effect, and I'll discuss a very important case study of the Iranian nuclear plant, which had an attack by some other countries. So it's not just limited to a normal banking transaction as such. It's gone way beyond that. So as I said, a lot of cyber warfare is happening between countries. Say for example, something between India and Pakistan. I remember very clearly, and because I follow the cyber news very closely, when there was attack on India, and when India retaliated that attack, so there was actually a cyber warfare where there were a lot of Indian hackers who hacked some of the Pakistan websites, and probably you could just Google it and find out which were these websites. So there were things like some of the education societies of Pakistan were hacked, and that there were similar kind of activities done by the Pakistani hackers as well. So what they do is they would hack the website, post messages that, you know, this website hacked by Pakistani hackers, do what you can and stuff like that. So there's been a lot of geopolitical situations in place which gives rise to cyber warfare as well. The ability to master the generation, management and use and manipulation of information has now become a desired power center, right? So we all understand it's not just limited only to ciphering of the money, but then it's become a power center. People are using the cyber warfare increasingly to get more power. So control over the knowledge and ideas are something which everyone is now seeking into. So say for example, a closely guarded trade secret. So say Coca-Cola, right? So Coca-Cola has a very closely guarded secret about how Coca-Cola is made. What are the ingredients that go into it? What is the exact formula? So this is a closely guarded secret, and probably there might be a lot of people who want that kind of information. So it's not just money, but then yes, the knowledge and the patents, they are important valuable asset for any company, and people are behind that. So it's again it's leading to such kind of attacks. Cybercrime in its fundamental is a crime that is committed to steal the private information, and because it's cyber, so there are basically two things involved. One is the internet, and or it could be an extranet, it could be any kind of connectivity. So basically a connected medium to get into the computer. So computer, or it could be a server where this particular information is stored. So the whole idea is, if you're looking at a connected world, which we are, right? So it becomes all the more vulnerable for external people to get in, get that information in place. So cybercrime in its basic form is basically meant to steal the information which could be a closely guarded information. So a crime in which a computer is the object of the crime. So this is what a cybercrime. So it's a tool to commit an offense. So earlier you could have, you know, different types of crime. So actually going into someone's house and stealing those valuables. But now it's gone way beyond. So it's basically more related to computers, more related to the networks, more related to the mobile phones. So it's all cyber. Cyber criminals may use computer technology to access personal information, trade secrets, as I just mentioned, or use the internet for exploitation or malicious purpose. Now, as I mentioned, this purpose could be actually to earn money, or probably to earn fame, or, you know, just play around, right? So the intention could be anything. Criminals can use the computers for communication and documents. So probably they can hack into the data storage to get the documents. Criminals who perform these illegal activities are often referred to as hackers, and the illegal work that they do is called as a cybercrime. Some examples of cybercrime are the fraud and identity theft. So this is a very common example. So people might want to steal your login ID password, and then, you know, if it's social, probably they might want to post something which is not meant to be, or it could be a simple a fraudulent transaction. The online banking information, so this is the most common, and we'll discuss about the different kind of attacks that happen in a banking domain. Identity theft, again pertaining to a bank, or any kind of unauthorized computer access. So that's where the entire audit trail comes into picture. Crimes that target computer networks or device or it could be the crimes that use computer networks to advance other criminal activities. So say for example something like a cyber stalking or a phishing attack or identity theft, right? So these are all different types of cyber crimes as they are committed in the market right now. So let us now understand what cyber security is all about. What exactly is cyber security? So the definition of cyber security is often confused with information security. Now let us understand two things very clearly. Now information security is it's very huge, right? It's an entire ocean, and cyber security is a part of the information security. So generally information security is referred to as IT security, and it protects all information assets, whether it could be a hard copy or in digital format. But cyber security, as I said, is just a subset of the information security, right? Information security is really huge. It could be in the form of hard copy, soft copy. But when we talk about cyber, there has to be internet in picture. There has to be any other kind of private connectivity in picture. There has to be servers in picture. There has to be computer networks in picture. So that all comprises about cyber security. So cyber security consists of technologies, procedures and controls designed to protect systems, networks, programs, devices and data from cyber attacks. Effective cyber security reduces the risk of cyber attacks and protect against unauthorized exploitation of systems. So either it could be a bug in the system, either there could be a vulnerability in the application, there could be certain open areas in the application through which the attackers could get in. Or it could be some kind of open networks. So say for example, if in case of a firewall policy, if there are certain ports that are left open, attackers could get into from that port. So as a security best practice, it is always said that when you configure a firewall rule, so just provide the least access, and that's the principle that is used when policies are configured. So you have to give the least access and basically block everything else. So that's the kind of best practices, security best practices that are that come into picture when we configure the perimeter security devices. In the recent year, cybersecurity has come under a lot of media scrutiny because of the rapid development of cyber risk, both in the kind of size of the attacks and the impact of the attack. So most well-informed organizations also now consider cybersecurity as a critical business. So as I said, there could be a lot of repercussions. It could tarnish the brand image. It could lead to a lot of financial losses, right? So all companies now understand the importance of how important is to protect the brand image, or to ensure that the proper security mechanisms are in place so as to avoid a cyber attack, right? So just consider the case of say any e-commerce company. Now the e-commerce player, as it operates, their business model is 100% online, and that is the reason why it's susceptible to a lot of cyber attacks. So say for example, if I am an e-commerce company, say for example I'm Flipkart, right? Probably any competitor of Flipkart might want to tarnish the image or want to impact the sales as such. So what they could do is there could be something like a DDoS attack, which could actually bring down the entire service. So what would happen is bring down or actually severely degrade the performance of the system. So what would happen is users might just want to go on that mobile app and probably shop, but then they are connected to the mobile app, but then probably they cannot move items to the shopping cart, or probably they cannot even complete a transaction. So this creates a very bad user experience as such. And what would happen is, because user just wants to buy that product, he might go to a competitor and get that transaction done. So there are a lot of things involved, and organizations now know the need why they want to develop a robust system in place so as to protect such kind of attacks. Why it is needed? So according to Forbes, the global cybersecurity market is expected to reach $170 billion by 2020, right? And it's $170 billion, so it's bigger than the size of the Tata Group, bigger than the size of Cisco, bigger than the size of HP, right? It's 170 billion. This rapid market growth is being fueled by an array of technologies, and below are few of the drivers, right? So first is BYOD. Now BYOD, it stands for bring your own device. Now many companies, many organizations are actually motivating employees to get their own device so that they have to invest less in their in the corporate device that they provide to the employees. Also, it gives the employees the flexibility to use the device of their choice. But then what really happens is that say for example a user gets their particular, say, a mobile phone. Mobile phone could be infected by a lot of viruses, there could be a lot of worms, there could be some bots which could be sitting in that mobile phone. But the moment that particular mobile phone communicates with the office network, then that virus is bound to spread in the network, right? So a lot of BYOD is actually giving way to a cyber attack as such. Then it could be a lot of IoT. Now IoT is Internet of Things, we all understand that, but then how exactly IoT? So what IoT means, and a simple use case would be, say, a lot of say SIM cards or a lot of sensors are relaying a particular information to a command and control center. So let us take an example of a smart city. So smart city would have a lot of lighting sensors, street lights. Street lights would be relaying this particular information to a command and control center. Now just imagine if the communication between the street light sensor and the command and control center, if there is a man in the middle attack or something of that sort, if the entire sensor is hacked by the hacker, so instead of the entire feed going to a command and control center, what if a hacker is actually controlling that feed? Then the impact would be devastating, right? So probably you could have a power outage, and the impact would be huge. It's unimaginable. So just imagine if the parking system is affected, or say if the entire sewage system is affected, or the water supply system is affected. So a lot of IoT sensors are susceptible to such kind of attacks. Second is the rapid adoption of cloud-based apps and workloads. Now what has happened is, because people have realized that on-premise infrastructure costs a bomb, so there has been a lot of emphasis and focus on the cloud technologies. So we've discussed the cloud models in some of our past discussions. So say things like AWS, Azure, GCP, that is the Google Cloud, or any other kind of public clouds in place. So what happens is, the information on the public cloud might be secure, but the method in which that particular information is extracted by the end user, probably that could be susceptible to a lot of attacks. So this is again one of the drivers for cyber security. Third is extending the security needs beyond the traditional data center. So in case of a traditional data center, all the commands, all the controls were confined to that particular data center. So there was a perimeter firewall, there were certain other security devices, say for example something like IPS, IDS. So everything was confined to that data center. But now what has happened is, storage has become more localized to the user. It has got closer to the user as such. So with the help of CDN networks, that is the content delivery networks, the content is getting more closer to the user. Now that's good thing. So user are able to access the content really quickly. It enhances the user experience, but then it also is susceptible to a lot of attacks as such. So if we have to talk about a traditional approach versus the newer way of which business is done, so it's again one of the drivers for cybersecurity. Then there are certain data protection mandates. So say things like the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, or you could also have something like the NIST, that is the National Institute of Security Technology, the cybersecurity framework. So these are some of the frameworks which companies have suggested, which organizations have suggested, that organizations have to comply with that. Similarly, if we have to talk about the Indian banking segment, then it's mandated by the RBI to have a proper security framework in place. So just in a case of an enterprise architecture solution, we say that it has three layers, right? It's web, app, and DB. So what RBI says is that you need to have a set of security controls between the web and the app. Similarly, a set of controls between the app and the DB. And RBI is really, really stringent about getting these things in place, right? So even when you do a lot of mobile banking, then there are a lot of frameworks that RBI suggests for the banks to have in place before they roll out a mobile-based banking as such. So there are certain certain mandates by the agencies which serve as an important driver for cybersecurity. So let us understand what are the pillars of data security or cybersecurity. So one is the people, right? Now people are the most important asset for every organization. But then people also can be the most soft targets when it comes to a security attack, right? So every employee needs to understand or made aware about what their role is and what is honest behavior that is expected from them. So very often than not, we see that a lot of such cyber attacks happen internally rather than externally. So a lot of data theft, they happen or they are initiated from an internal employer rather than, you know, attackers coming from outside. So a very recent case was that of Paytm, right, where the internal employer was actually getting the information and probably, you know, selling it off somewhere else. So this was a very typical case where the internal employer was internal employee was responsible for actually the misusing the data. So every employer needs to be made aware of their roles in preventing and reducing the cyber threats, and staff dedicated to cybersecurity need to be kept up to date with the latest cyber risks and the solutions, as well as what are the ways in which these kind of threats could be mitigated and how can they respond to any cyber attacks if there are any. The second important pillar are the processes. Now it's absolutely important to get the processes right. So in case of organization which is implementing a large e-commerce website, then you should understand how are the different processes that are built up, what should be the different security frameworks. If there is a cyber attack, then what should be the process involved through which it has to be addressed. So say for example, if an employee receives a suspicious email, then what are the reporting mechanisms through which it has to be raised to the concerned department. Now because this cyber landscape is changing so rapidly, the hackers every day use new techniques to get into this kind of networks. Now let me give you a very real life example, and this is something that we've actually designed a solution for. So this was a actual attack that happened. I will actually not name the organization, but then what happened was an employee in a very reputed MNC company in India, he received an email, and the email said salary components of the entire department .xls, right? So it was an Excel, and believe me, if you receive an email like this which has the salary information of everyone, of the entire department, then everyone is really enticed to, you know, open that email. So everyone would just want to know what is the salary that everyone else is drawing out. So so what that employee did is he actually clicked on that email attachment. So attachment was the Excel, but then the Excel didn't have anything. Right? So employee always thought that, you know, there's nothing in it, probably it's just a junk email, and he never reported it. So what happened is in that Excel there was a exe which was embedded. Now this is something that cannot be seen, correct? Now there was a exe file, that is an executable file, that was actually embedded inside that Excel file. Now the moment that Excel was run, it actually triggered a exe to run in the backend, and the exe got installed in the employee's machine. Now what happened is slowly and steadily this particular exe, it actually, you know, sent out small chunks of information to its command, to the master through which the exe got launched. So it slowly and steadily it sent out small information. Now then, and without the employee himself getting to know, because if your system works fine, if there is no issue in the performance, if the RAM, the CPU, everything is going well, right, you don't see any blue screen, no applications getting hanged or anything of that sort, then people actually don't realize that there is a worm which is sitting inside your machine, correct? So what slowly happened is that this particular worm, then it started spreading into the entire network, right? And so one after the other, all the machines were infected. There were a lot of trade secrets that got leaked, and there was one master who was sitting outside the network who was monitoring this activity, and he was able to get all the information. And then once this information was out, there was an IT audit that was done, and through that it actually came into picture after what, some 9 months or so after the attack actually happened. So this was a classic example of a lapse in the process, that as an employee, you know what your role are, right? So say for example, if I am from the sales department, then I am not entitled to get an email like this. And believe me, the email also comes from a legitimate user. So it becomes all the more difficult for people to realize that there is a dubious email that is floating around. So this was a lapse in the process. So it says that if there is a spurious email that has come to you, probably report it to the information security department. Third is the technology. So while we say that people and processes are important, but then there has to be a right blend of technology which should also be a part of the IT security as such. So while organizations' measures are a big part of cybersecurity, technical controls are just as essential. So from access control systems, so it could be as simple to say that what is the kind of physical access that you get when once you enter the organization, or it could be things like installing some kind of antiviruses in your machine, or some kind of clients on your machine which could monitor such kind of activities. So technology controls, obviously they are a must, but then just technology controls would not really help, because the cyber attacks are actually very dynamic in nature, and there are a lot of new things that are coming into picture. So you need to have a perfect blend of all the three pillars, and that's what you see in the diagram here. So it's a perfect blend of people, process and technology, without which the data security for any particular organization remains incomplete. So the three key pillars of any data security model are processes, people and technology. A right blend of the people training, a right blend of the different processes, and obviously the technology controls in place. So that makes up a perfect data secure system. Let us now look at some of the cyber attacks. So as I said, we will be discussing a few cyber attacks that are happening in the market as we speak. Probably what should you do to probably report an attack like this and protect yourself. So a very common attack is a phishing attack. Now phishing is a old technique, but then it's kind of and it's a part of a social engineering attack. So it tries to trick people into divulging sensitive information, and it's usually a phishing email is so cleverly drafted. A phishing attack is slow, so cleverly disguised that people don't actually differentiate between a legitimate note that is sent to you or a phishing note. So say for example, there have been a lot of emails that are sent out by RBI saying for example, the income tax department has given you a rebate, or they've given you a refund of whatever X amount of money, and it comes from the income tax department. So people are bound to click onto that attachment and then provide the details. So it will ask you for your bank details into which the amount has to be credited. So it will ask for certain information, and people are lured to providing information like this.